Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush here on Rush to Reason. And on the line right now, we have one of my favorite non-birthing people, Mike from Parker. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm raging right now. I'm raging Cajun.
You're raging Cajun?
Yeah!
Let me guess. It's about a little thing called a stimulus package.
Yes. And
talk
to
me.
My battle cry, you know, for 10 years has always been, you know, we live in a constitutional republic, and we... Our Congress is supposed to represent the people, and they don't. They represent the corporations, and we have to get rid of Citizens United and money out of politics. Because it doesn't matter if the congressperson has a D or an R behind their name, they all get enveloped by the swamp, and they no longer represent the people. And this CARES Act, you know, it should have been a two-page document, you know, of X amount of money to the people of the United States.
Yeah, hey, really quick, before you run on, I want to get, how would you have structured it? Mike, really quick, before you run on, how would you have structured it? What kind of money would you have had, and who would you have had it go to?
I would have had basically $2,000 a month. You know,
a month?
A month, yes. I mean, you know, Britain is doing, you know, 7,000 a week. Other countries are doing 100% of your wages, you know, a month. I mean, the rest of the world is doing wonderful things to keep their economies afloat. But I would have gone in, you know, $2,000 a month for less than $150,000 a year.
Basically, you would have done a guaranteed wage. I won't go that far, Mike, because I think at that point you're just printing funny money and it's going too far. But what did you not like in this package? What did you think that was in there that maybe was a little more political than helpful?
Well, I don't think anything was helpful except for, again, the money. What is shown time and time again is when you put $2,000 in the hands of the people – or the middle class, they spend it within minutes. It's spent, you know. But you put $2,000 in a millionaire's hand, it really doesn't move. But I'm a firm believer. We're a consumer economy. But what I didn't like, of course, was all the federal aid or aid. I should use aid is $500,000 to Israel to build Iron Dome 3, all going to Raytheon and Boeing. You know, the $1 billion, you know, going to the JFK Center or something. I mean, the Smithsonian. There's a plethora of things they did, just handing money out to individual congressmen for their state or to their corporations that are in their state. I think the worst one was Mitch McConnell, who set up a horse racing board, a regulatory board in the state of Kentucky that he's in charge of. You know, he's just lining his own. I mean, he's already made $36 million in Congress. He came in worth $1 million. Now he's worth $36
million. Oh, I don't know if that's the worst one. I heard some.
No, Nancy
look,
the worst.
Let me. You got more time coming.
You're right.
I totally agree with you on Mitch's thing. I'm totally against it. I'm against the money to Israel. I'm also against the money to Pakistan. I'm against sending money anywhere. You see, if it's a place right now on this ball called planet Earth, and if it's to a place that's not called America, right now, sorry, we're tapped out, folks.
Fully agree.
I mean, all we're doing is printing money and devaluing the dollar for our kids.
Yep.
Okay, so if we're going to do that, let's devalue it as little as possible by not sending it to people who didn't vote for our leadership that's sitting there in Washington.
Right.
So anyway, Mike, I totally agree with you. But do I think Mitch's is the worst? No, I think there are so many that are so garbage.
I don't want to pick on the D's or the R's. You know, my battle cry has always been, when you give Nancy Pelosi $120 million.
She buys ice cream.
She buys ice cream in her $100,000 refrigerator. I mean, Ted Cruz was worth $1 million 4 years ago. He's worth $5 million. How did you make $5 million? And Ted Cruz goes, quote unquote, people give me money. Well, why do people give you $5 million? Well, to vote the way they want me to vote, you know? And again, Donald Trump summed it up best. He goes, look, I give money to this is before he's president. I give money to the Democrats, I give it to the Republicans, and they do what I want them to do.
Right.
That is the Congress, that is the swamp, and the swamp has never been bigger, it's never been greater than it is today, and it'll continue going down this path until we get rid of Citizens United.
But Mike, take a step back. Before you even get to Citizens United, why do you want government to be more and more and more and more powerful and be redistributing wealth all over the place if... That is, and then you say you don't want these people to be bought. The reason they're bought off is because of their great power. There's a reason you're buying off a congresswoman or a congressman, and you're not buying off the kid who serves you at Taco Bell. Okay? The first one has tons of power because people like Mike and Parker are saying, hey, let's do the socialist thing and empower them to move money around. And the guy at Taco Bell is just getting you your nachos Bel Grande, which, by the way, are wonderful. Okay. So,
I love them.
Sorry, I'm a nachos Bel Grande person. I can literally order three orders of it and just sit there and graze. I don't even need a fork or anything. I just lean forward. But, okay, I'm getting way afield here. Sorry about that. I said Taco Bell, and now I'm off. I got to throw the ball back to you, Mike. But don't you think if you don't want all this money, it's not just Citizens United. And I'm not saying I disagree with you there, but it's not just that. The bottom line problem is we are empowering them to move people's money around from each according to his ability to each according to his need. The more we empower them to guarantee results and move around the results of people's labor, the more we give incentive to buy them. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely correct. But I think when the government makes overbearing laws that says we have to shut everything down, you have to compensate the business owners and the homeowner to stay home and buckle down.
Agreed.
$2,000 a month is not, you know, for 20 years. It's as long as you're telling my people and me I cannot go to work, then you will pay me to stay home, and you'll pay the nation to stay home. And when this COVID is gone in 6 months, 9 months, whatever, you get rid of that. But the reason our Congress no longer represents us, number one, it's money in politics, because if you give $2 million, I'll go to Tim Cook on Apple when he paid no taxes. And he goes, look, don't blame me for not paying taxes on $36 billion. He goes, blame your Congress for passing bad laws that allow me to pay no taxes. And they said, how much money did you give Congress to pass these bad laws? He goes, $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion he gave Congress to pass these laws. But he's saying, don't blame me. They took the money to pass these laws and I pay no taxes. And that's the Congress we have now, is they represent Tim Cook. They represent the Jeff Bezos. They represent this 5,200 pages. And if somebody took their time and went through every single page, they would find that the congressman for that state got money and or a corporation gave huge donations to get that pork put in there. And we as a country cannot tolerate this. And I'm going to go back to the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment used to say that your senator was appointed by your state Congress. And when your senator no longer represented the state of Colorado, they got recalled that day. And that's the beauty of our founding fathers, is they said, we want the senators to represent the state. And if they don't, the state Congress can recall them that day. And it happened all the time. And they kept money out of politics by just recalling the senator, saying, no, you're not voting for Colorado. Come home, you're fired. Jim, go to Congress. Vote no on that.
I think, the first step to keeping money out of politics is to go back to the powers that were given to these legislators by the founding fathers. If they only had that amount of power, they wouldn't have all this money going there. But hey, Anil, you're up next.
No, I understand the sentiments that Mike's talking about. I think we have some agreement on that. But the thing is this, what caught me is when you said, you know, when government shuts down the small businesses and people, you know, I think it's time for people to fight back. Government didn't shut down Walmart.
Absolutely.
They didn't shut down Target.
No, they didn't.
They didn't shut down Lowe's or Home Depot or anything like that.
Nope.
So what happens is when they shut us down today, they will shut us down tomorrow. They will shut us down next week. They will shut us down next year. And so at this point, if we continue on and allow them to shut us down, then we're not a free people anymore. And no matter how much money they redistribute from other people, it's not solving the issue here. So I agree with the 17th Amendment issue. I agree with a whole bunch of stuff. But I think what happens here is it is time to fight back so that the people, the small businesses, all the people have control. Most of our businesses across America, the majority of them are small businesses. And it's up to them to fight back. Hitler used businesses and good German people to push his agenda along. Hitler didn't kill anybody along. So if we don't fight back and fight back hard, and businesses have to have a steel spine and fight back, because by submitting, they're never going to win. It's a winless situation. Then we're in a losing situation we can't get out of.
Hey, Mike, really quick here. What did you think of what Rand Paul basically had to say about all this, though? Okay, because he said, because he agrees with the whole he agrees with the whole concept. Look, if the government destroys something, they should pay for it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Anil and I are with you. I agree. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're going to keep it destroyed, you need to pay for it. However, his basic point was this. The longer we keep basically devaluing the dollar and printing up funny money to pay for this stuff for the states, the longer we empower tin pot dictators like Polis here to keep not reopening the economy.
Great point. And I think Rand Paul is dead on there. I mean, I'm a firm believer you have to open up the country. And I already had COVID. I'm through it. My wife, my grandmother, a lot of my friends have had COVID. We're through it. And we're told we shouldn't even, the doctor said, you don't have to get the vaccine. You're immune. You're good. You know, the vaccine won't help you. You know, maybe there should be COVID-free zones that if you already had COVID, you can go shopping, you go dancing, you go to restaurants, but you have to open everything up and let people, you know, smart Americans, or let them make their own decisions on what they do or don't want to do. But I don't want government interfering with my life. I don't want government coming down and having to give me $2,000 checks. That's not the world I want to. But I want to live in a country that's not oligarchy capitalism, but I want to live in a world that's democratic capitalism, where Congress represents the people again, but not the corporations.
Okay.
And Mike, there's a lot of sentiments we agree with, but I came from the East Coast in Philadelphia, and I've seen what has happened across cities here when government has gotten involved in the lives of people. People remain poor, they remain destroyed.
Agreed.
So we need to have the incentive that people rise up and become dictators of their own, dictators or leaders or whatever, of their own lives.
All right.
But the question is well, one more question before but the issue that people have, and the question people have, is how do I rise up and how do I fight the overbearing corporations, the overbearing government, because we get squished, we get thrown in jail, we are breaking some sort of law or regulation that they pass that puts people in jail. I mean, as an example, as part of this COVID bill, they passed, if you illegally stream videos, you go to jail for up to 10 years, $100,000 fine. I mean, they're always crushing the middle class.
But when you look at a lot of the Patriots, Mike, you know what? They stood up against whatever the issues were. They stood up. It did cost them. It cost them financially, cost them going to jail, et cetera. But you got to stand up and fight, and that's where it comes down to.
Okay, guys, got to put a wrap on it. Sorry about that. We got to go to break. But, Mike, thank you, and please call back and agree with me about Taco Bell. All right? I got to talk to Dr. Julie tomorrow, and I don't want to admit to her that I actually go to Taco Bell, you know, but I do. And speaking of Dr. Julie, Ascend Health Centers, after a long election season, you're probably dealing with a lot of pain. I would think so. I think we all are. Well, you can keep popping pain relievers that fix nothing, or you can deal with the underlying causes by calling Dr. Julie at 303-343-8800 or go to ascendhealthcenter.com. Dr. Julie doesn't fix elections. But she can help fix you, both now and going forward. Awesome. 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascend Health Center has dedicated her life to helping you feel well, because your health impacts every other area of your life. Think about what matters most to you, the goals you want to achieve tomorrow, next year, in the next 10 years. It will be harder to achieve those goals if you don't feel well. You won't be as effective at home or at work unless your body has the energy and vitality it needs. Dr. Julie of Ascend Health Center wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. And she believes that you will be more effective at the things that matter to you when you feel well. That's why it's so important to take care of your health. And that's why Dr. Julie has developed an actionable plan to help you feel well. All you need is a willingness to change. Set up a consultation. Tell Dr. Julie you're ready to make a change, and she will handle the rest. Find Ascent Health Center in Denver and Inglewood now at rushtoreason.com.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Buckle up, Colorado. If the three-day special session recently concluded is any indication, this next legislative session, postponed until February thanks to COVID, will be a disaster for constitutional government, the rule of law, businesses, and other struggling individuals. Look for more mandates, regulations, rules, and power grabs. Rick Turnquist writes in his most recent op-ed, Tyranny and Bankruptcy. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Rick joins me. Are we leaving a legacy of tyranny and bankruptcy for the next generation? Embarrassing. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. And to my left, not my political left, is Anil Mathai.
Hey.
Hey. And on the line right now, we've got Bill from Boulder. Bill, what do you have for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Andy. First of all, you're doing a great job filling in for John. I caught the show yesterday and thought it was fantastic. Yep. And, yeah, looking forward to, who is it?
Thank
Brad?
Thank you, sir.
With, Brad was really good yesterday too. Was it Brad with the home renovation company?
The pastor. Right?
Yes, I'm suddenly spacing his name. Help me.
Mighty Hand Construction.
I know. And yeah. I'm just
anyhow. He was really good too. He really kind of So Anil, for the little bit that I've heard of you today, you're hitting homers as well, man. But hey, I wanted to.
By the way, it was Rob Bray. I'm sorry. I just had a brain moment. So there you go.
It all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead.
I wanted to follow up on Mike from Parker's conversation about, he was pretty worked up about Citizens United. And I think it's easy to kind of fall down that rabbit hole because on the surface, it doesn't seem like a really logical decision. And it was like, almost unanimous. I think 8 of the 9 justices actually sided in favor.
Bill, of that really case. Quick, walk people through what the decision was.
Well, basically, it's basically stated that corporations, when it came to political donations, could be viewed as individual citizens
right.
and not corporations. So that opened them up to political donations of all sorts. But I think the real root of the problem is, there's some disclosure issues there that that actually the Republicans back in 2010 stymied efforts to eliminate some of those disclosure restrictions associated with Citizens. And I love that he brought up the point about Ted Cruz, coming in and being, making $4 million over the past 4 years or whatnot. I think the real heart of the problem is term limits, really. If you go back to the founders, I'm pretty sure that they didn't think that this was supposed to be a lifelong career, being a politician. And if you're only in for 2 or 4 or 6 years, then, or maybe 2 terms, then I think it makes it a little harder argument for the corporations to say, hey, look, you're going to need money to remain in power for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years. If you're only in and out, it probably gives them less time to build those relationships with individual lawmakers. And then also, too, I think that maybe these guys probably don't need as much money to remain in office because they're not in office as long. So, it may remove some of that incentive, if you want to call it the profit incentive.
Really quick, Bill. That's
with all these corporate donations.
Really quick, let me agree with you. I'll get back to you here in a sec. Because you're also removing a lot of the incentive because the product that congressmen, is simply not worth as much. If they're term limited, right. the maximum you can get out of them is what, 8 years or whatever, 12 years right. if it's a senator. And, you know, if they don't have term limits, you can't buy them for life.
Precisely.
I agree.
Now, you know.
Oh, Anil, 1 second.
Yeah, in general, I do agree with term limits in general. But in here in Colorado, we have term limits, and look at our government. I mean, you know, the Democrats know exactly who they can put into that seat. It's just a warm seat. So we have to be careful in general. I'm for term limits, but, you know, is that the root issue? Is that the root cause that we're dealing with here? Because, again, in Colorado, we have term limits, and our government's out of control.
What do you think, Bill?
Well, and I think you bring up a good point in using root cause, Anil, because I think, you know, going back to Michael's previous call, he really was down on Citizens United. And I'm not agreeing with Citizens United, but I don't point to it as the root cause of everything that we see going on here. I think it's a synergy of a lot of different pieces of the puzzle that make it all work together. You know, coming back to what you just said, Anil, about here in Colorado. Now, if we didn't have term limits, would it be much worse? Would we have been a blue state 10 years ago if we didn't have term limits in Colorado? I don't know. You know, so and to your point as well. I mean, I look at a senator like Rand Paul. I mean, I love that guy. And, you know, so I don't want to see him not be senator for Kentucky. But, you know, that's the right thing to do. And I'm sure he doesn't want to be senator for Kentucky forever. I mean, I think he'd like to be president. And I think the country would benefit if he was. But, you know, so it does come with that caveat. But I think that's what the framers had in mind. And I think that would be a step towards making government a little more lean and efficient and less bloated. I was listening to Sebastian Gorka last week, and I think it was he who ran the math on the then $600 per taxpayer stimulus payment. And I think he said it was $115 billion if it was everybody in the country who was eligible to receive a $600 check was totaled. And then yet that stimulus bill was $900 billion. And you know, Rand Paul was railing against all the bloat there. A matter of fact, I would encourage all of your listeners to go out and Google the Rand Paul 2020 Festivus list.
Oh, yeah.
Every year he does the Festivus report where he highlights all of the wasteful spending that we do. And that's one of the worst things in the world that I can think of is all of the the wasteful spending that the federal government does every single year, because it's entitling us to, you know, international debtors, and it's really putting future generations in a real tough spot when, you know, this we just keep kicking that can down the road. And it's almost like people think, well, we can just print more money and the problems will just never materialize. And you know, that's that Keynesian way of looking at these problems. It's like, well, look, we'll all be dead by the time that these problems materialize, so we're not worried about that.
Yeah, you know, Bill, really quick here, and I'm going to turn it to Anil in a second. One thing about the Keynesian way of looking at things is that it seems to really disregard our children and future generations. I mean, it basically tells them, forget you.
Yeah.
We're going to charge our economy on your credit card. Go ahead, Anil.
Yeah, and I just want to agree with Bill. I mean, Rand Paul is an amazing senator, a patriot, Thomas Massie, congressman. Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman-elect, coming up. The difference between these three, at least, is one was Rand Paul was a doctor. Thomas Massie was an engineer. Lauren Boebert is a business owner. Let me propose this. Maybe we ban lawyers from becoming politicians in Washington, D.C.
Seriously,
because that's the majority of the elected officials are lawyers. And I got nothing against lawyers. You need them, you need them. Some of them are great people. But
Ted Cruz
is an amazing attorney, constitutional attorney from the state of Texas. He was a solicitor general. Uh-huh. But you have a rare. But why don't we diversify here? We're always talking about diversify and cap the limit of politicians in Washington, D.C. to 10% legal lawyers, and then you know, spread out, because that represents real America. Business owners, doctors, engineers like me, we build or we design. That's how you're going to make this democracy better at the local level and city councils and school boards everywhere, state. That would be my solution,
Anil. But if you do that, then you won't have 5,000 page bills.
We don't need 5,000. We don't need a 5,593 page stimulus bill that nobody can read. Got it basically 11:30 in the morning for a 1:30 a vote that everyone, 99% of Congress couldn't even read that bill, maybe 100%. We need two page bills, clean green bill so that average Americans can read this. That's what fires me up, is like, we have to stop the nonsense. You know that consolidation bill that we just talked about is called the United States-Mexico Partnership Act. Did you know about that? That's what the title is. If you go to Congress, House Resolution 133, and in this stimulus bill, it talks about Pakistan, Nepal, and all these places. We are being conned left and right, and I'd say if we can get back to a representative constitutional republic that represents people who basically are livelihoods across the country, then we're going to do this. But right now, we have like, what, 80, 90% lawyers that run this? That's how they make their money. Put the 5,000 pages in. That's how they make their money. We got to stop it.
Awesome. Anil, you're fired up. Hey, Bill, I need you to close us out here, sir. Close us out. What do you think?
I'll quote Bobby Kennedy, who, you know, some people love him, some people hate him, but he did say one thing, and it's incumbent on all citizens to be informed and aware.
Yes.
And I think if more people paid attention to what was going on and tuned out the boob tube a little more often, then it would be a little harder for the politicians to run some of these shenanigans.
You mean we're not going to learn everything we need to learn on Netflix?
No, Dancing with the Stars isn't the answer.
All right, Bill, thanks so much.
Nachos Belgrande. You guys have a good
year. Thank you so much, Bill. Call again, and let's take a break here real quick. Speaking of Rob Bray, Mighty Hand Construction, winter's here with Mighty Hand, and it's expensive enough to heat the inside of your house, so don't heat the outside. Mighty Hand can retrofit your windows for increased energy efficiency. They also do all kinds of other stuff that'll make your house more energy efficient. Call 970-844-9191 or go to mightyhandconstruction.com.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom and pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. The same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but 5-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Okay, affordable interest mortgage. If you're looking to improve your house for winter, well, you need money. And right now, that money is cheap. Housing values are sky high, rates super low. So call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to affordable interest mortgage at aimortgage.net.
Take AIM. Affordable interest mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Okay, a good shop. When you've had a car accident, remember you are still in control. Don't let the insurance company decide where the car is towed. Have it taken to a good shop where you can get great work done by people you can trust. Have this number handy, 720-541-7697. You can fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision. But don't forget that number, 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a good shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a good shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, and next to me is Anil Mathai. And on the line, we got Mark from Black Forest. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're doing great, too.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bill's kudos to you for filling in, doing a great job for John. I agree with Bill. I wanted to kind of disagree with Bill a little bit, too.
Okay.
So he used the word materialize. You know, we talk about this stimulus, spending, you know, more money than we have, as, you know, pushing it off the bill to our children. I don't think that's quite accurate. I think we're paying with this. This whole thing is constantly materializing. Everybody has to pay. This is causing inflation. And every day, every week, you know, year after year, this is materializing and everything getting more and more expensive.
Well, that's true.
Dollars, so it affects everybody, not just our children. And that's kind of the message I wanted to get out to everybody. Everybody's got to realize that this is directly impacting everybody every day. And making everything more expensive.
Mark, I actually agree with that because it's going to jack up inflation. And when it hits, I think it's going to hit pretty hard because you can't print this much money and have the same number of objects that it represents and not have the cost jump up soon. The reason I do mention our kids so much is, number one, they're powerless. They have no power in any of this, right? And number two, we are devaluing their dollar. Mm-hmm. When they come of age and older, they're going to have a greatly devalued dollar. And, oh, by the way, they're going to have some massive deficits to pay back mm-hmm. with massive interest. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I keep that in mind. But you know what, Mark? You're dead right. We're also hurting ourselves in the here and now.
Okay. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Awesome comment, Mark. Thank you so much. Hey, let's all right. Bye. Call again. Let's go to Thomas in Aurora. Thomas, you're up.
Hello, this is Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. Welcome to Rush for Reason.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, sir.
Glad to be here. You all were speaking earlier about the representation of different people in government, like doctors, engineers, and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's really interesting. Yeah, especially with all the really kind of older lawyers who've been in politics so much, I feel like there definitely needs to be some room for new input. Society has changed in the last 30 years, and I definitely think there should be some new input, some fresh faces in government.
Let me ask you this, Thomas. What kind of career fields would you like to see send people to Congress?
Great question. Well, doctors, obviously, just people in relevant fields, you know, businessmen, stuff like that. I would probably say definitely no engineers. We really don't need those guys.
What? Oh my gosh. What? Anil is hurt.
Our cell phones, our planes, our buildings, our signals. What in the world? What who created
that's
this?
Interesting. Yeah. Especially with all the really kind of older lawyers who've been in politics so much. I feel like there definitely needs to be some for new input.
Hello?
Society has changed in the last 30 years, and I definitely think there should be some new fresh faces in government. Let me ask you this, Thomas. What kind of...
Oh, sorry. We just had a problem there, Thomas. You got played double over. Are you there now? Thomas?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
I got some feedback or something through the radio.
Yeah, is your radio on?
No, my radio's not on.
I have no idea. Technical difficulties for people. That's all it was. Because that was kind of weird. We were hearing you in stereo. Thomas was everywhere. Thomas was like God. he was coming from all directions. And how could you say not engineers? You know, that's very hurtful. It's bad enough they don't get invited to any parties.
It's true.
I mean, I don't know. I just can't think of. I mean, what would you say would be an engineer's input into the government system? I'm not too sure.
I don't know. You know who terrifies me right now is, and I'll let Anil answer that in a moment. Who terrifies me right now are doctors. Because the second somebody like Fauci got power, look what he did to us. But Anil, what about engineers?
Engineers will come in and look at processes and do evaluations. You got things called like Lean Six Sigma. You'll look at processes from A to Z and cut the crap, cut all of it out, and make it very simple. Make it from A to B instead of A to Z and all this other stuff. We look at ways of making things improve, and so process evaluation. I mean, government needs it across the board. Cut the process, cut the waste, and the taxpayers get to keep most of their money.
Okay, this is what I have against engineers.
That sounds incredible.
Thomas, this is what I have against engineers. they absolutely make up words like Lean Six Sigma just to make me feel stupid.
I mean, what does that even mean? You know,
I don't know. I know that I feel dumber now than I did 1 minute ago.
No, it's just one. It's a tool.
I felt so smart. No, I had potential.
No, and it's a tool just to evaluate processes and see how you can make things better. That's all.
Okay. Thomas,
I don't know any words more than like five letters, so I have no idea.
You know what? Then you should be in Congress, and then we would have shorter bills.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just saying. Thomas, thank you so much, and please call again, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care, man. Take care. Okay, let's go to a break. Joe, we're going to hang on to you on the other side. But first, Purefoy Chevrolet. John's new Corvette C8 is out at Purefoy's Corvette showroom. Swing by, take a look. It's gorgeous. And also look at Purefoy's full line of new and used cars on year-end deals. Find Purefoy Chevrolet online at purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311. Purefoy Chevrolet, find new roads.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial. Like I always say, you may have done your job for years, but retirement is a whole new world. Let Elm Smith guide you, minimize risk, protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, or show you when's the best time to file for Social Security. Call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. Anil Mathai is with me as well. And Joe, Trader Joe, Jersey Joe, is on the line right now. Joe, how you doing?
And I'm doing great. How you doing today?
How you doing, Joe? How you doing? Hey, Joe, I need you to do me a favor and choose your next 20 words very carefully, because Charlie has decided to loop it. He's going to record it and loop it for the rest of the hour. Is that okay?
That's well. I'm all right. Here, there. By the way, did you know I'm an engineer?
Are you an engineer? Yes. Are you gonna are you gonna make me feel stupid too?
Well, here you go.
That's not hard.
Three words for you: statistical process control.
SPC.
Statistical process control.
Okay. Two words for you. Me confused.
Okay. By the way, I'm a mechanical engineer. Do you know the difference between mechanical engineers and civil engineers?
What?
Mechanical engineers design bombs. Civil engineers design targets.
That's very cool. I like that. All right, your 20 words is up, but so no one's going to hear you, but what else you got for us?
Well, I want to talk about fascism and freedom of speech. Let's start with Governor Cuomo, New York Governor Cuomo, who just signed into law last week, a piece of legislation that forbids the displaying of what they classify as hate symbols, which include things like the Confederate flag, swastika, on any public property in the state, which means if you have a Confederate flag on the bumper of your car or the back window of your car and you drive into and park in a federal state courthouse or state park, you just broke the law and can be arrested. I can't wait to see this one go to the Supreme Court. And I'm wondering where the ACLU is going to... You know, the ACLU used to jump all over this stuff. I mean, it's clearly an infringement on free speech.
Right. Well, ACLU, Joe, I mean, basically, it's government saying... We can decide what you shouldn't see, and then we're simply going to outlaw it. You're not outlawing people hurting each other. You're outlawing people expressing themselves, and
right.
That is terrifying.
And we're going to decide what is permissible and what is not permissible. You know, who's going to be the arbiter? It scares me that government thinks they should have the power. By the way, an American writer by the name of Evelyn Beatrice Hall paraphrase something Voltaire, the French philosopher, said 100 years earlier, and you may have heard this, she penned it as follows: I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Right.
And I live by that. You know, I may despise what you stand for, but I'll be the first one to defend you if you want to stand up on a soapbox in the public park and spew your hate. That you're right. And in fact, I prefer that people know who you are and what you stand for.
Yeah, you know, you remember the old days when we allowed hateful people to expose themselves?
Yeah, it was great. Fine. If you want to get up there and wear your Ku Klux Klan robe and let the world see what a jackass you are, God bless you. I think they should all do that.
I think Joe brings up a great point here, even with the swastika issue on freedom of speech. You know that when you walk through different towns in India, swastika came from not the Nazis, it came from Hinduism and Buddhism.
Correct.
And so when you walk by houses on their gates, on the driveway, they have swastikas all over. So all of a sudden, if you start to ban that, you are now putting Hindus, you're going against their religious beliefs. That's where this came from. So it's an interesting thing if that goes up to the courts here, because it's not really, we don't understand the full understanding of certain things here, but it's bigger than the Nazi issue. That issue is a part of the Hindu religion for some people.
But Anil, once again, you're offending me because you're making me feel stupid. I didn't know that.
Walking in India, that's how I learned. I was like, wow, this is interesting. I thought, why did they like Hitler? No, it wasn't. Hitler got that from the.
And what's it mean there?
It's part of the Hindu religion. It's some Hindu word that really is tied to their religion. I don't know the deep details of it, but that is a religious symbol for them.
The symbol for windmill. Yeah. I have no clue.
And here's what's scary. It's a long, yeah, open-ended list. There's like five or six, and they've got some, you know, some of these white supremacists, they have some symbols and whatnot, and they've got some letter designations. I forget what they stand for, but they've let this to some bureaucrats to add to this list as they see fit. Doesn't have to go back to the legislature. Isn't that scary?
It is scary. And Joe, you know, here's what scares me the most in all this. when you decide that it's okay for bad people to say bad things, because you want them to expose yourself, when you decide it's okay for them to say those things, the left now says that equates to liking those things. So if I don't want to silence people who are Nazis, and if I don't want to shut down people who want to have a Confederate flag, that means I like Nazism and slavery. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Andy, the ironic thing here is that the people who are so-called against Nazis are behaving just like them. Burning books, breaking windows with Kristallnacht in Germany, and burning books and all this other stuff. And so basically they are no different from the Nazis. They are socialists. They are communists. And so they're just, this is a con game. They are behaving just like the brown shirts.
Yeah, but careful. That's hitting too close to home for Joe, who lives in New Jersey.
Before I came here 10 years ago, I moved from New Jersey over here. So I was there for a couple of years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What part of Jersey, by the way?
North Bergen in Hudson County next to Hoboken.
Yeah, I went to school in Stevens Tech in Hoboken, an engineering school.
Yes,
I
remember. Yeah, right up the river. Yeah.
I am outvoted. This is terrible.
Let's talk about fascism, of course, which is using
coercion
to shut down free speech. Don't know if you had a chance. There's a Prager University video. There's a Prager you were interviewing on campus asking, you know, people are walking by. He's got his microphone. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Some student gets on his cell phone, calls campus police, and says, there is a man here terrorizing students. Terrorizing. And the guy says, I'm just asking them questions. How am I? Anyway, this student wants to use force. He wants these armed campus security to eject this guy from campus because he doesn't like the questions he's asking. That is fascism, the use of force to shut down speech and ideas that you don't agree with.
You know, Joe, the young people of America today, and there are obviously huge exceptions to this, but they are far more fascist than I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think even, Jayla, I think there's some other Turning Point USA where, you know, the students, well, yes, we need to make hate speech illegal. You know, forget the First Amendment. Yeah, we need. And then they say, well, how do you define hate speech? And they go on, well, it's things that they don't like or things that denigrate other people and what. So it's such a slippery slope. They don't really realize what they're saying. And they want to use the power of government to shut down thoughts and ideas that they don't agree with. That's fascism. I'll take it a step further. Cornell University earlier this week, don't know if you heard about this, but they had a student council body government where, and they held a vote.
Oh, yeah.
Where they wanted, and then the vote was whether or not campus security should be disarmed and, you know, just have mace and, you know, walkie-talkies. And the vote failed. Well, the fascists on the student body then proceeded to work to get the four students on the student body who voted not to disarm the police expelled. And when they succeeded in getting two of the four expelled, the very first thing they did was brought that same motion up for a second vote and passed it because they succeeded in expelling two of the four that voted against the motion. That's fascism.
Yeah, that's basically the same as defund the cops.
Defund the cops. Well, it was actually two. Defund the cops, i.e. we want to disarm security.
Right.
Oh, we don't like the way you voted. We're going to use our power to coerce you off this, you know, to get you expelled so you can't vote the next time we bring this up. That's where our colleges are these days. I mean, it's sad, but that's where our colleges are.
Yeah, they either, if they don't like how a vote goes, they simply, you know, subvert it. And this is incredible. You learn how to do all of this kind of stuff in Rules for Radicals. Mm-hmm. You learn how to do this stuff. Marx was all for this. Mm-hmm. And you look at these young people today, Joe, they literally do not care about liberty if it isn't their own. Was that a fair statement?
Correct. Yep. Absolutely, 100% correct. They view liberty as a one-way street. Their liberty matters, yours doesn't. They don't realize that if somebody can restrict your liberty, that same rule, regulation, power that is restricting your liberty can restrict their liberty. They don't understand how the pendulum swings you know, over time.
I'm going to be honest, Joe. I don't think they care because I think they feel, hey, as long as I got the power, the pendulum doesn't swing, so I don't care. I outnumber them. If I have more people, I have more power. Hey, we got about a minute and a half left. You got anything else?
No, I think that's about it. But, you know, I think that's it. Other than if you go on Prager, you'll see, or Turning Point USA, you will see countless examples of students being offended or trying to shut down, people just asking questions. Or you've seen the videos where there's somebody has a table set up on campus, you know, a Trump table or something, and they'll come by and they'll physically use force to overturn the table, smash everything, and then run away because they don't like it. It doesn't fit with their ideology. So it's just one example after another of fascism.
Got a minute left, Joe. I want to ask you this. What do you see in 2021 happening with this?
I think it all hinges on what happens in Georgia next week.
I do too.
If we can hang on to the Senate, I think we can pretty much roadblock any major unfortunate changes. If we lose the Senate, then I'm afraid it's all over but the shouting. They'll pack the Supreme Court. You know, they'll add four liberal judges to the Supreme Court. They'll put through, you know, just horrendous changes to our tax laws. They'll spend. They'll devalue our dollar so quickly it'll make your head spin.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Trump ran to make America great again, and they ran, and I mean, they said it right up front, they ran to seize power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, legalize 20 million new voters who would vote for them, add four senators that'll be on their side and do all these things. They literally ran on seizing power. And that's why Georgia is so important. I agree, Joe.
And if they succeed, we'll look like Venezuela inside of 10 years.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. But you live in Jersey. You live in Venice, Jersey. How you doing, Joe? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much, sir. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, folks, that will do it for hour number two. And if you want to call in next hour, please do at 303-477-5600. In the next hour, we are going to have, let's see here, John Zemirak will be joining us coming up at the top of the hour, and Liz Mayer at 5:30. Until then, this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.